Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, the show that is part of the Simply Luxurious Life online destination, cultivating true contentment, the art of living a life of quality over quantity. Visit the blog, The Simply Luxurious Life, at our simplified URL, tsll.co, or thesimplyluxuriouslife.com to find the show notes for each podcast episode, as well as much more weekly content to elevate your everyday and deepen your contentment. From a Monday motivational post, recipes, videos of the cooking show series, style and decor inspiration, French and British inspired content, and readers' favorite regular weekly post, This and That, which is posted each Friday morning. Now to today's episode.
Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started.
Welcome to the 332nd episode of The Simple Sophisticate. Today we're going to talk about reflection and exactly what it is and how it can be beneficial, as well as make sure we're not doing the wrong type of reflecting. There's another term for it, but I think you'll know what I'm talking about when we dive deeper into the subject. But before I get into today's full episode, this week's Petit Plaisir is a Francophile find. With Bastille Day just around the corner here in a couple of weeks, I thought it was a great time to share this find. Back to our topic. I've named this episode The Power and Necessity of Regular and Frequent Reflection. So not just regular reflection, but frequent. And not just acknowledging that there's power in reflecting, but speaking to the necessity of it in order to live well. So let's begin with a quote. Your soul needs time for solitude and self-reflection. In order to love, lead, heal, and create, you must nourish yourself first. As shared by Louise Hay, stillness, silence, solitude. Whether you have 10 minutes or an entire afternoon or day to give to quiet contemplation, otherwise known as reflection, when you choose to do so, you ground yourself, ensuring that the next step in your life journey will be far more constructive and in alignment with a life of contentment. I happened upon an observation made by Paul Child, the husband of Julia Child, while reading Warming Up Julia Child, The Remarkable Figures Who Shaped a Legend. He made a comment shared in a letter to their friend Avis DeVoto while traveling throughout the West Coast during the first book tour for his wife. And he shares, because he's speaking about, and this is in the early 60s, he's speaking about the bustle in Southern California. And this state at this particular time in history, his population is skyrocketing at an astronomical rate. And he writes in this letter, quote, so busy with material consumption and social whirling that they neglected reading and reflection, end quote. It was his concluding clause of what he felt was lacking that immediately drew my attention and caught my eye, his prioritizing and valuing of a regular pastime for a deeper appreciation of art and science and, well, living well, in his opinion. Unconsciously, it has been my nature since I was a young girl to reflect often, likely associated with being introverted, but because it was unconscious, overthinking could occur, which was unproductive. However, because I knew and had many examples from my life journey that resulted from being reflective, thinking deeply about a project, a life choice, or a temporary dilemma, I knew there was great value in being reflective. The skill I needed to learn was how to harness it for constructive purposes and to recognize when it became destructive, when my mind would regress to its lizard mind tendency and spend time in the land of worrying and catastrophizing. I want to share this quote with you from William L. Shirer. "Most true happiness comes from one's inner life, from the disposition of the mind and soul. Admittedly, a good inner life is difficult to achieve, especially in these trying times. It takes reflection and contemplation and self-discipline." End quote. William Shirer, an American journalist and war correspondent, and notably the first reporter hired by Edward R. Murrow, acknowledges the need to attain the skill of self-discipline and the understanding that a strong and healthy inner life is a conscious effort that is not easy, but powerfully rewarding when achieved. In 2010, I shared a list of benefits when we acquire the skill of self-discipline that we gain. And over the years, I have found to be true that it is when I have clarity about my priorities, about myself and how best to nurture myself, that I am deeply content and at peace. All of that enables me to have a stronger skill that is self-discipline, because self-discipline becomes easier when the decision-making is clear and I know why I don't want to do this versus I do want to do this. And there isn't a battle with bad habits that I wish to eliminate, or at least not as much. It may at first seem antithetical to slow down and be still to gain a better life. But as was discussed in last Monday's motivational post, it is through subtraction that we can increase the quality of our life. Silence and the act of reflecting go hand in hand, as we need to provide the space to recall, remember, examine, and consider. As artist from the 16th and 17th century Francis Bacon states, quote, "Silence is the sleep that nourishes wisdom," end quote. In order to understand, we must slow down. In order to find peace with our direction, we must find the time to be still and ponder all that we have experienced during the day, the week, etc. Confucius as well prioritized the importance and value of reflection when he said, "By three methods we may learn wisdom. First, by reflection, which is noblest. Second, by imitation, which is easiest. And third, by experience, which is bitterest." End quote. To reflect enables us to avoid unwanted outcomes, events, loss, pain, and hardship. Similar to a pickup that has found its way into a sinking, waterlogged mud puddle, to continue to spin one's wheels literally only digs the pickup further into the ground, making it more and more difficult to be pulled free. It is through pausing, reflecting on the situation, ascertaining a plan that is not identical to the one that brought you to the mud puddle, that will enable a desired outcome. As my own daily life has become far more quiet, I have found myself experiencing moments that remind me of my childhood when I would while away entire afternoons or mornings completely enthralled with an excursion with my horse or other animals, riding or reading, or simply tootling about, letting my curiosity lead the way. Absolute bliss in my book. And such moments were made possible as of late in my life now, because I gave myself time the 2.5 years prior to reflect on what was and was not working in my life, what made me feel fulfilled, grounded, and at peace, no matter what others said I should be doing to attain such desired outcomes. In this turning point in my life, which I've talked about often on this podcast, on the blog, in a couple moments, and most specifically and in most detail in my book, The Road to Le Papillon, Daily Meditations on True Contentment, reflecting was a vital tool that gifted me with the trust in my decision I had for so long been scared to make. As I know there are many fellow introverts as well as HSPs in this listening community as well as the Simply Luxurious Life blog community, reflecting, as I mentioned above, is likely already part of your everydays. You do it naturally. You do it because it's who you are and it makes you feel, there's a positive gain when you do it. The struggle I consciously have identified to be a barrier I need to work through or around in order to get on the other side of is acknowledging and finding peace with the truth that I thrive in an environment and approach to living my everydays that many people I had surrounded myself with or been surrounded by due to teaching didn't find to be comforting or nourishing. For so long, I expended energy with my family, with colleagues or friends, trying to explain, defend, and becoming frustrated, sometimes to the point of exasperation, as though I was banging my head against a wall, that how I enjoy living my days is the real deal. It genuinely brings me deep satisfaction, elation, and it is my place of true contentment. Some of these people I would try to convince extended pity. Some assumed their way of living was superior because what I was doing was not their way, and so I must be unhappy, even though I claimed otherwise. And so what I am in the process of doing is finding peace with the reality that they may never understand, finding courage to speak my truth in a loving yet strong way, being at peace with the reality that my truth may cause some of these people to feel discomfort in the moment when I share, but I avoid feeling resentful later, which is a destructive and unhelpful feeling as I move forward building and nurturing relationships with people who do accept a truth they may never understand, but yet lovingly acknowledge there are many ways to find contentment and thus many moments of happiness. I share this journey that I find myself on for two reasons. First, because all of my ahas discovered came about through regular reflection. I've been able to live a life that I feel very fortunate to live, largely because I do take the time to reflect and have been doing so nearly all of my life. It doesn't mean I haven't made wrong decisions or decisions that led me into, you know, an oops or an opportunity to learn, but it ensures that I'm self-aware and aware of what's going on around me and asking the questions. The ahas didn't come instantly, but they did come, often assisted by reading, as Paul Child paired with regular reflection, because none of us has all of the answers to the questions we will come across while we reflect. And so in areas where I didn't understand, I looked to those who knew far more than I did. And the second reason I shared this journey that I find myself on is because I wish I had heard someone say this to me, to tell me how you live your life, what brings you peace, calm, exuberance, need not be validated by others. In the introduction of the November chapter, which is the 11th chapter in the Road to Le Papillon, Daily Meditations on True Contentment, I speak about an aha I had about savoring my joy and not asking permission or validation from others to acknowledge that my joy was good, was okay. It didn't need to be validated by an outside source or person or society's, you know, something similar to what society understood. Once I became conscious that I was actually unconsciously seeking others' approval to feel joy, I then gave myself the approval from within and stopped seeking it outside of myself regarding how I enjoy and find peace in my everydays. So if I can give any amount of peace of mind to encourage you to continue to enjoy your days as you do, regardless of whether others in your life currently understand, I hope I can do that today and every day on the blog and this podcast. So let's talk specifics here. What exactly does reflecting look like in our daily lives? Well, let's first take a look at what it is not. It is not meditating. Meditating is a valuable skill and practice, something I wrote a detailed post about, sharing 6 benefits and sharing how to meditate daily, something I do every day for now 10 minutes every morning. But reflecting requires you to use the mind to contemplate, to examine, and meditation asks you to observe your mind, to step back and strengthen your ability or simple awareness so that you can engage with each day with more mindfulness, being able to hold yourself fully in the present moment. Okay, so that's what it is not. Let's look at the 5 things that it is. Number 1, reflecting asks you to find a quiet space. This could be in one spot or on your walk while you either listen to your favorite music, anything that, if you're listening to something, that doesn't ask you to think about the content you are hearing. So in order to reflect, you will want to turn off the podcast episode. I know this is counterintuitive coming from a podcaster, but in all sincerity, you tune into a show, if it's a podcast, likely to learn something or to understand something, or you're hearing words, ideas, and you need to be only in your own head. You don't want someone else telling you something. That's why music, if you're going to have something in your ears, is probably the best thing to have, or nothing at all, just the sound of nature. Some of my best and most productive, as well as regular reflection, takes place in the evenings when I take a neighborhood walk, which is maybe 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes long with Norman, and I pop my music on and listen to classical music. For me, having words in my music is a distraction to me. It might not be for you, so do definitely find music that enables you to reflect. But some of the ahas I've had, just when I've freed my mind enough, pop in at the most unexpected times while I'm wandering around on the sidewalks, watching Norman tootle in front of me. So just an idea of what that looks like for me, and maybe it'll work for you. But taking the time to explore what works for you will be something unique to you, and that's fun as well, finding that. Maybe it is while you're taking a bath even, or taking a shower, sitting in your favorite cozy chair, or outside on your porch, or working in your garden. You can be doing something while you are reflecting, but it needs to be quiet, which enables your thoughts to wander without influence or distraction. So that's number one, find a quiet space. Two, journaling often helps us to understand what our thoughts are trying to help us understand. As I shared a couple of weeks ago, often it is when I put what I am thinking down on paper that I make more sense to myself of what I am actually trying to work through. The process of manually telling my hand to write a certain word or idea helps me solidify what I am actually feeling, wanting, or what is causing frustration. I know not everyone journals, but I do find journaling to be very helpful. You don't have to do it every day, but it's definitely a regular practice to get into so you can get things out of your head and make sense of them. Number three, reading can help prompt reflection, but only if you stop to let yourself ponder and mull over what it is that was sparked in your mind while you were reading. When I was teaching, I prompted my students to annotate while they read because it helped them to actively engage with the writer and what they've shared. And while it did slow their reading down, it also strengthened a closer reading of the text and thus deepened their understanding of it. My description of such reading and writing on the page was that they were having a conversation with the author, questioning, sharing ahas, challenging, understanding, etc. So reading can absolutely be part of your reflection process or routine. It doesn't have to be that way all the time, but it can definitely be considered as a part of it. Four, regularly engage in reflecting, and thus it will become a practice that not only becomes easier to do, as you will find great benefit as you go through your days, but you will want to return to this comforting space in your day. A space where you are conversing about the days and life's events, making sense of them as best you can, and if you cannot, presenting questions for your mind to mull over in the days and weeks to come, is a space that I think you'll begin to find is very comforting to come home to. It's a place where, as I just said, the answers sometimes are found, and if not, the right questions are discovered for you to ask and then go back out into the world and ask them. I find the latter, the idea that you're not going to find all the answers and thus more questions instead, unexpectedly powerful, because our mind is there to help us if we let it. We can sometimes pose a question to our mind. All right, so I'm reflecting one day, I'm posing a question, I can't figure this one thing out. But then I go to sleep and I sleep on it. Maybe just one night, could be multiple nights, but at least I have put the question into my brain. It isn't going anywhere. You may not have it at the forefront of your mind all the time every day until you find the answer, but it's there. And believe it or not, this will happen. You'll wake up with an amazing aha you had not thought of because so much information is stored in your long-term memory. It takes the mind time to find all that information and find where it's located. So this is the power of reflection. It's almost as though you're going to the wisest sage for your life journey. And it is you, not that you know everything, because you don't and you never will, but when you know the right questions to ask, that's going to help lead you in the right direction. Whether the answer is to be found in your mind, or at least it'll lead you to something in your mind that will make you think, oh, I know who can help me answer that question. So that's number four. If you do it regularly, it's something you want to do every day or however frequency you engage in it because you found value in it. And when you find value in something, that's the motivation to do it again and again and again. The last way that you're going to want to practice reflection is going to be surprising based on what I shared at the top of this list. Number five is practice meditation. I know. I just said that meditation is not reflecting, and I am sticking to that. It is not. But in order to have an effective and beneficial reflective practice, you must have control of your mind. You need to be able to tell it where to go and where not to go. And how you do that is by strengthening the muscle that is the mind. And you do that through meditation. Meditation enables you to make sure you stay in the arena that is reflection and not slip into the arena that is rumination, which is destructive. And we'll talk about that next in the benefits of regular, frequent reflection. But first, I have a few sponsors I'd like to introduce you to. I'll be back in 3 minutes. If you are looking for thicker, fuller hair and are looking for a noticeable difference every time you look in the mirror, look no further than Vegamore. Vegamore is a transformative 100% vegan and takes a clean, holistic approach to hair health that leverages small botanicals clinically proven to promote visibly thicker, fuller, longer looking hair. Vegamore products are an essential part of a daily healthy hair care routine. I too noticed an improved difference when I used GRO Revitalizing Shampoo and Conditioner Kit Grow or Grow Plus Serum as my hair looked fuller and felt fuller too. Easily integratable into your daily routine, all Vegamore products are 100% vegan and cruelty-free and never contain parabens or hormones. Vegamore has something for everyone looking to improve their hair health. They help give you back healthy, beautiful hair. And best of all, Vegamore has a 90-day money-back guarantee. And even better, 91% of customers say they saw visibly thicker hair with Vegamore in just 3 months of use. As a simple, sophisticated listener, you have the opportunity to try risk-free Vegamore for 90 days. Go to vegamore.com/sophisticate and use the promo code sophisticate to save 20% off your first order. That's vegamore.com/sophisticate. Then use code sophisticate to save 20% at vegamore.com/sophisticate. The Simple Sophisticate is also sponsored by Thrive Cosmetics. Cause is in the name for a reason. Every purchase supports organizations that help women thrive. And knowing what you put on your skin includes clean, skin-loving ingredients makes the purchase all the more worthwhile. Thrive's Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara is a go-to in my handbag, something I can depend on, making my lashes even longer, and better yet, easy to remove in the evening when I'm ready to turn in for the night. Thrive's Brilliant Eye Brightener is a cream-to-powder highlighter stick that brightens and opens the eye, giving you an instant eye lift. It helps you look like you've already had a restful sleep, even if you haven't, and gives a perfect wash of color and glow, a vibrant, well-rested look in 13 shimmering shades. And be sure to check out their Defying Gravity Eye Lifting Cream, which instantly lifts, tightens, and brightens skin around your eyes with line-smoothing hydration, softening and soothing, providing deep moisture to your skin while instantly reducing dark circles and puffiness. Thrive's mission is the cause, which is bigger than beauty. For every product you purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help women thrive, women who are emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, and fighting cancer, as well as so much more. As a Simple Sophisticate listener, now is a great time to try Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/sophisticate. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/sophisticate for 15% off your first order. Bombas' mission is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you are also giving to someone in need. Bombas designed their socks, shirts, and underwear to be the clothes you can't wait to put on every day. Everything they make is soft, seamless, tagless, and has a cozy feel. There's a pair of Bombas socks for everything you do. They come in tons of options, such as comfy performance styles with sweat-wicking yarns, which means your feet stay cool while the rest of you works up a sweat. Bombas no-show socks are designed for comfort while being specially engineered to never fall down. So let your ankles be free to soak up the sunlight. Bombas t-shirts are made with thoughtful design features like invisible seams, soft fabrics, and the perfect weight so they hang just right. Bombas underwear is so breathable and fits so well, it feels like you're wearing nothing at all, in a good way. And did you know that socks, underwear, and t-shirts are the three most requested clothing items at homeless shelters? That's why Bombas donates one for every item you buy. So far, Bombas customers like you have helped donate over 50 million items of essential clothing. And as a Simple Sophisticate listener, go to bombas.com/sophisticate and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/sophisticate, bombas.com/sophisticate for 20% off. bombas.com/sophisticate. Welcome back. We've talked about how to reflect. We've talked about conceptually the gifts that we can have from doing regular and frequent reflection, but let's really drill down on what those benefits are very concretely. What are those benefits of regular, frequent reflection? Now that my days have breath, in other words, regular white space, they're not crammed to the gills from beginning of the day to the very end where I'm just plain exhausted. I have moments where I can breathe literally more slowly, moments that are not scheduled. Time to find a balance. Something Mozart reminds with regards to the importance of this white space is how the music is heard and thus appreciated only with these white spaces. He actually said this specifically. He says, "The music is not in the notes, but in the silence between." I reflect every day, and I have found great strength received in doing so. It grounds me. It gives me a steadiness and a more sturdy confidence in my journey moving forward, which is full of so many unknowns. Often the reflecting is in my journal, but it can also occur while I'm taking my long morning walk with Norman or our short stroll in the evening. I have had to consciously remain vigilant that my mind doesn't let the reflecting wander where it doesn't need to go, which I had mentioned at the top of this episode, but I want to say it again. It doesn't wander into worrying or catastrophizing or anything that's destructive, thus ruminating. Places it would go without my knowledge previously of how to stop it or acknowledging that doing so was unnecessary and definitely not helpful. But such bad habits have been significantly reduced, if not eliminated. I find this bad habit arises when I am tired, have not given myself enough time to recharge, and so I am being more mindful now of my daily schedule. And I've always been mindful of it, but I haven't had as much control over it as I do now. But part of it, having more control over it too, is that I also have more knowledge about myself. And it takes time to understand this about yourself. You're not making poor decisions likely because you're unable to do so, likely because you're exhausted. It's likely because you have a lot of stress on your shoulders. There's a lot of other components that affect your ability to live well and engage well. The key to ensuring your reflection is beneficial is to always be focusing on constructive actions and progress rather than ruminating on negative events. The latter is where overthinking and catastrophizing can happen, and there is never a benefit in such mental habits. This is where strengthening your mind gives you the power to direct your mind's attention. This is where meditation is a skill that contributes to reflection, as meditation strengthens the muscle that is the mind. Now let's look at the benefits of regular frequent reflection. I want to begin with a quote by Vikas Runwal, who shares, "Honest reflection opens your mind to reprogramming, change, success, and freedom," end quote. As well, in order for any of the below benefits I'm going to share to be experienced, you must be brave enough to be honest with yourself. You may not like what your mind discovers upon reflection during certain instances, as you realize you behaved or acted or spoke in a way that was not in alignment with who you want to be. You may discover you need to apologize and accept the consequences of your choices. But in doing so, you will learn. And because you are reflecting, you are beginning to create positive change. French artist Paul Cézanne shares, "Time and reflection change the sight little by little, till we come to understand," end quote. So what are these benefits? I have 8 I'd like to share with you. Let's get into it. Number 1, you have a deeper clarity of direction on anything. This is where your priorities become clearer and why you are prioritizing them. Is it because you want it or society wants it? Your family wants it? Why do you want this? And when you have a clarity of direction, choices become easier. And that's 2, decision-making becomes easier. 3, deeper clarity of your needs, dreams, and their roots of origin. Are they yours innately or placed upon you by society? So 1 through 3 really all work together. 4 is you make better selections of which relationships to become a part of, to invest in. 5, you have improved relationships. You discover areas you would like to improve, better understand about yourself, and you also find your voice to communicate your needs, desires, and interests. 6, there is a reduction of stress and anxiety. As you become comfortable with your own company, strengthening your sense of agency as you trust your decisions and competence to navigate whatever the future presents. And this speaks to what I was talking about earlier. It's almost a chicken and egg question, but it's not really. Once you understand yourself, and you do that through reflection, and it takes time, you start to make better decisions, and you start to have the courage and the confidence to say no and yes and where and what would be most beneficial to you. And that's when the stress and anxiety start to reduce themselves. Anxiety has a lot to do with feeling that you don't have agency. There's a lot of other components to it too, and I am not a mental health professional, so I don't want to speak to that because I don't know all the depths of that. But that is one aspect of it. And then the stress component is being so overwhelmed by so many things you have to get done that you can't have white space in your days. So once you have clarity about where you're going, you start making better decisions. You start saying no. You start speaking up for yourself in a loving way and knowing that your choice is what you need matters and is valid. And thus, the stress is reduced. The anxiety is reduced because you have agency within yourself. Things start to gradually improve. And it is gradual. It is gradual. 7 is you will then begin to have deeper and more restful nights of sleep. Yeah. And that's where the answers start to pop into your life as well. As we said earlier, you pose a question to your mind, sleep on it for however many nights it needs to be slept on. And it just seems almost as though it's magic, but it's not. You knew this. You either knew where to find the answer or knew where to go to get more information to then know what to do. And last but not least, you have an improved emotional intelligence. And I wrote a detailed post and episode on this a couple years ago, and I will link to exactly what emotional intelligence is. It is something you learn. You can strengthen it. It is an awesome skill to possess. But you can only do that through reflection. In order to welcome a regular and frequent practice of reflection, you may have to rearrange your daily routine. But I assure you, The benefits, what you gain, will be more than worth it as you will begin to live a life you love deeply. Changes will certainly be part of your journey when you begin to reflect in this way, but the changes will be made by you and will be constructive. So today, embrace your own company. Befriend yourself. As Jane Austen describes the leading character in Mansfield Park, Fanny Price, quote, her own thoughts and reflections were habitually her best companions, end quote. Once you begin to confront behaviors and choices that do not contribute to the life you want to live, you will greatly enjoy the company that is your constant companion, you. I'll leave you with a lasting thought here from Bill Lucas. He shares, the capacity to reflect is at the heart of what it is to be an effective learner. All right. And you can find both of these lists and all those quotes and everything we talked about today on the show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast332. And I'll be right back with this week's Petit Plaisir. Welcome back. So this week's Petit Plaisir is a Francophile find and a film I have been wanting to watch for over a year and a half, wondering how or when or if it would come to the States for us to watch, because it is a French film and it is called Eiffel. This is based on the journey of Gustave Eiffel to create, design, and erect the Eiffel Tower or Tour d'Eiffel. And so finally, it arrived in the States in early June. It's being called the French version of Titanic. What I mean by that is they waited a long time to actually be able to bring it into the theaters because they were waiting for the audiences to be able to go see it in the theater. And it's worth seeing in a theater. I will say that the videography is well done. I definitely, you know, after I watched the film, went back in and tried to learn more about Gustave Eiffel and his actual journey and what was true and what wasn't, because it's based on his actual life story. But there are a lot of pieces that are just unknown. And you have the film beginning right after his great success of building the Statue of Liberty and being applauded by the American ambassador in Paris. And the World Fair is coming to Paris and he's being nudged or pushed to, you know, contribute something. And he actually wants to contribute a metro. He thinks that'd be far more functional and needed by the public. But something, or should I say someone, changes his mind. Now, this is where fact meets fiction. We don't really know for sure what inspired him to build the Tour d'Eiffel to look as it does. But what we do know is that he did have a love for Adrienne, who he met nearly 20 years prior. And that is also what the film covers. And you have the main character, Romain Duris, playing Gustave Eiffel. And he himself is in his mid-40s. And so he has to play a young man in his late 20s, early 30s, and then play someone in his late 40s, early 50s. And they do it very well. And it looks very natural. I think very little prosthetics were used, if any. I'm not actually sure what they did. But he does look older and then younger. I think it's a lot to do with facial hair and clothing and all that fun stuff and good makeup. But then you have Emma McKay, who is both a French and British actress who plays Adrienne. And she does a phenomenal job as well. And you actually may remember her from Death on the Nile that recently was in theaters. But before I say too much more and give anything away, here is the trailer for Eiffel.
C'est moche. On peut monter jusqu'à 200 mètres.
L'obélisque de Washington ne mesure que 169 mètres.
En somme, c'est ça qui montera le plus haut.
Et vous êtes qui?
Gustave Eiffel.
T'as pensé l'exposition universelle?
Je vais pas recommencer.
Je vois pas l'intérêt de construire un machin qui sert à rien et qui va falloir démonter juste après.
Vous avez réponse à tout.
La vie m'a appris à me méfier des surprises.
Bonsoir. Regarde-moi.
J'espérais ne jamais vous revoir.
Eiffel?
Oui, pardon.
Pour y avoir des idées sur le sujet du concours?
Il faut voir plus libre. Plus audacieux.
Une tour. 300 mètres. Entièrement en métal. Un défi à la gravité. Aux éléments. Cette tour, messieurs, c'est Paris. Son rayonnement. Sa place dans le monde. Pourquoi tu m'as pas tout dit ?
Lui, il m'aime.
Je te parle pas d'amour. Je te parle de réputation.
Vous voyez trop grand, trop haut.
Tout Paris est contre nous. Ils en sont même à compter le nombre de morts que la tombe va faire en s'effondrant.
L'auvent ! Bougez-vous les oreilles !
Et le scandale ? Tu as pensé au scandale ?
Ce que nous allons entreprendre, personne ne l'a jamais tenté. Nous allons construire un rêve. Cette tour, les gars, c'est celle de la France. C'est surtout la vôtre, la nôtre. C'est ensemble qu'on l'a commencé. C'est ensemble qu'on va l'achever. Ouais. Adrien.
So this film came out in France and then more widely in Europe last fall. So I have a feeling many of you who live abroad or live internationally may have already seen this or known this was available. A few things that I really enjoyed about this film. The engineering that had to take place and his savvy and intelligence as to how to build this tower so close to that river is remarkable, and learning those logistics will make you appreciate its artistry and its skillful build even more. And one of the other details that, and I won't give it away, but why he chose to use rivets instead of bolts just after they'd begun the project. And there was a lot of pushback when the Eiffel Tower was being built as to whether it was necessary and what was it, and whether it should be permanent or whether it was just going to be what it normally would have been, a temporary feature for the World Fair. But his decision to go from bolts to rivets. And if you are an engineer or you know an engineer, you know the difference between a bolt and a rivet. And as I just mentioned, just after the process began, he changed from bolts to rivets. Now, we don't know really why he changed, but there's an argument being made that there was a motivating factor that caused him to say, nope, we're going this direction. So phenomenal videography to just take it all in and really just consider when this was being built, how amazing this was and the fact that it's still standing and has become quite the iconic edifice of the world for Paris. All sorts of conversation we could have about that. But anyway, the film is Eiffel. It is in theaters now in the States, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I hope you do too. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each episode where I'll recommend a book, a film, a show, a recipe, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you very much for tuning in today, and look for a brand new episode on the first Monday of July. Bonne journée. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, visit the blog The Simply Luxurious Life with the shortened URL tsll.co. And to welcome Simply Luxurious Living into your everyday life, be sure to check out my new book, The Road to Le Papillon, Daily Meditations on True Contentment, which was just released in March 2022 and became a number one bestseller in France Travel and a number one new release in France Travel in all four formats, hardback, paperback, audio, and ebook. For more in-depth exploration of how to cultivate your own unique, simply luxurious life, be sure to pick up my first two books. Each are available in hardback, paperback, ebook, and at Audible for audio listening. The first is titled Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, and the second, Living the Simply Luxurious Life. Readers can now join the more intimate Simply Luxurious Life international community by becoming members of the blog, which provides ad-free, unlimited reading and access to exclusive content such as each month's A Cup of Moments video chat, tours of my home, Le Papillon, the regular monthly post, What Made Me Smile, and Saturday Ponderings, as well as the opportunity to enter all of the giveaways during French and British weeks. To stay caught up on all things Simply Luxurious, the podcast, blog post, and the cooking show, as well as receive exclusive news and an extra dose of inspiration to jumpstart your new month, subscribe to the Simply Luxurious Life's free monthly newsletter, which arrives on the last day of each month. And there's a weekly newsletter, a favorite of listeners and readers, which is also free and arrives each Friday to keep you caught up on the recent weekly posts on the blog. Enjoy with a hot cup of tea or a cup of morning coffee and stay in the know about all things Simply Luxurious. Thank you for tuning in today. And beginning in September 2022, look for two new episodes on the first and third Wednesdays of each month. So a small change to the day of the week this podcast will be shared, but always the first and third week of every month, a new episode to listen to. To be alerted to new episodes and when they become available, follow on Instagram, the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, and only the news about this show will be shared. Until next time, I'm your host, Shannon Ables. Bonjourne.